and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and my pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome back to anyone who is a returning listener. I love being on this journey with you. I am so thankful that you are here. Thank you for just coming back day after day, and welcome to anyone who's found us for the first time. It's no accident that you are here today, friend, so please stick around for a bit. Don't run off quite yet. We had someone from another country download over the weekend, and so we're up to 101 countries in which the Lord has allowed this podcast to be downloaded, and somewhere almost up to 1,150 cities. And I just give him the thanks and the praise for that. That's all God. That's not anything that I can do or could have done. And I just continue to pray that he will use his word as his word says he will. It will not return to him void. He will use it to accomplish the purpose for which he sends it. And so I just pray that anyone who studies his word will draw closer to him. Oh, he's been so gracious to us to give us his word. And so may we not take it for granted. May we not drift away from it. We'll talk a little bit about that perhaps today as we do the background for our verse for the day. But know that I continue to pray for all of you, even though I don't know who you are. I continue to pray that the Lord would draw you closer to him and give you more of a desire to know him, more of a desire to spend time with him. Oh, friends, let us make an appointment with him several times during the day. You know, there are those who have depending on what their vocation is, depending on what their job is, where they have to check in with their supervisor or their boss a time or two a day. All of us have appointments that we make time for, that we put on our schedule. We know we must do things in a certain way or be somewhere at a certain time. And friends, this appointment, this time carved out with the Father should be of your utmost priority. I'm learning that in my life to make it of my utmost priority, and then all the rest of the things will fall into place. And I'm just so thankful for that. Now, is it going to be easy if we do that? No. As a matter of fact, that old devil doesn't like that. He's going to try to distract. He's going to try to tell you you've got to be busy. You've got to do this, that, or the other. But seek the Lord first. Seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all the things will be added to us, all the things that we need. He provides all of our needs. And in those difficulties, he will guide, he will direct, he will give us peace. He's so faithful, so faithful. And so I just want to encourage you in that today. Please know that I love to hear from you. I love to hear what the Lord's doing in your life as you're spending more time with him. And please consider sharing this podcast with friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it. Well, our verse for the day for April the 15th, 2024, comes from the letter to the Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, and it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things like we are, yet without sin. Oh, friends, what a verse. This is one that needs to be on your memory list because it is such an encouragement. All the verses surrounding here are the one right before, the one right after, but such an encouragement that Jesus knows. He's walked where we have walked. And the scoffers, the opponents of the gospel will be like, oh no, he doesn't know what's going on today. Oh yes, he took all the weight of all of our sins on him. He walked in on this earth fully God, yet fully man, and was without sin. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. He didn't lash back out. He could have. He could have wiped them all out with just a thought or a word. But he didn't. And he did that because he loves us. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what that, as much as I can explain it, what that means, that he's a great high priest, and may it be an encouragement to all of us today. But first, let's think about where we are in the scripture. You know, if you've been along this journey with me for very long, I think it is wise for us to do that, to take just those few moments and get our bearings straight. We must do this. We must have this good foundation. We must know where we are in the scripture so that when someone comes with questions, or if God gives you the opportunity to share, or there's someone that is trying to twist the truth of the word, you will be able to say, well, no, I know that it says this. Let's look it up together. Or you may not know exactly where it is. And that's one thing I love about Hebrews. The writer to the Hebrew will say, somewhere it says, or someone has testified somewhere about this, when he's referring to Old Testament scripture, because they didn't have verses and chapters like we do. But he knew the word said it, and he would remind them that somewhere it says. And so it's wise for us to do this repetition and think about where we are. Well, we are in the New Testament. We are in this letter to the Hebrews, and it is in the section known as the general letters. We've talked about this frequently, but the New Testament is divided into the following sections. It begins with the four Gospels, which tell us the good news of Jesus's earthly ministry and what he did for us on the cross. Then we move to the New Testament history, which is the book of Acts. That's early church history. Then we move into letters written by the Apostle Paul. There's 13 of those. Then we move into what are known as the general letters. Those were written by men who were not Paul, or we don't know. There's nowhere within the letter that says who wrote it. And then it ends after those general letters with that book of Revelation, which is the book of New Testament prophecy. So we're here in the general letters. These follow Paul's letters. This book of Hebrews is the next one right after Philemon. Some scholars think that Paul wrote this because there are some slight similarities to his writing. Many do not. And, you know, when you think about the Apostle Paul put greetings in all of the other 13 letters of his that we have and made it very clear who was writing. We do not see that in this letter to the Hebrews. There's some subtle differences. And so we just don't know for sure who wrote it. God knows. We know that God was the ultimate author, that he did inspire a man to write this by the power of his Holy Spirit. We know that all scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, correction, reproof, and training in righteousness. And so we know that it was breathed out by God, but we just don't know for sure who the human penman was. Now, we know why the letter writer wrote this, because if we look at Hebrews 13, and I've told you this before, I love it when we can find a statement of a theme or purpose or anything in the letters or books that we study that really helps us to keep it organized in our mind. And if you look at it through that lens, it will help you to remember it. But this writer of the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 22 says, "But I urge you, brothers, bear with this word of exhortation, for I've written to you briefly." So he was writing to exhort, to encourage, to spur on, and sometimes to warn, sometimes to admonish. There is so much in this letter to the Hebrews. Like Romans, it is a very meaty book. And so what I mean by meaty is that it is just full of just foundational things that we need to know. It goes deeper. It gives us some of the background. And one of the neat things is that we see so much of how the Old Testament sacrificial system and priesthood, how Jesus fulfilled all of that, how those were just a shadow of the things to come. But Jesus was the true embodiment and fulfillment of all of these things. And so I just love that. We see that the writer of this letter opens up. I just love the way he opens up the letter, because he says, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, we'll go and read it here in a second. He says, God used to speak to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son. Listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God, having spoken long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days spoke to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power, who, having accomplished cleansing for sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. So he opens up and says, you know, God used to talk through the prophets, and that we saw that throughout the Old Testament. We continue to see that when after the fall, and then there, as we zip through history, after the Lord had this chosen people, the descendants of Abraham. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had the 12 sons. Jacob's other name was Israel. And those sons were the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. God had told Abraham that they would go to a country that was not theirs. They would be enslaved, and then they would come back. He gave them the law through Moses, and this letter writer of the Hebrews talks about that. But they kept drifting away. And so he would at times send prophets to encourage them to turn back, to return to him, to turn away from idolatry and away from the ways of the world and turn back to him. But in these last days, this writer says, he has spoken to us in his Son, and reminds us that Jesus is equal to God. He's the exact representation of God the Father. And we're going to see that he's many of the other things that he is in this letter. And one of the main things when I think about Hebrews now, if you would have asked me, and I tell you this frequently when we're in Hebrews, if you would have asked me many years ago, what's Hebrews about? About all I could remember is that chapter 11 that has the Hall of Fame of Faith, where it lists many of the heroes of the faith. But after studying it, and I still have much study to do, one of the most recurring themes is that Jesus is better. He's above all in all things. And this writer starts out in this very first chapter and says he was given a name that was superior to the angels. So he was better than the angels. We go on to see in these first chapters that even though Moses was faithful to God and did exactly what God told him to do as far as leading out the people and passing down the law that was given by God to Moses to give to the people, Jesus was better than Moses. Jesus is our great high priest, and we're going to talk about that. Back in that law, the sacrificial law, the Levitical law, there were very clear rules and regulations about things that they were supposed to do, about the sacrifices that they were supposed to make, about who could be in the priesthood, what the priests were supposed to do. And the priests were that go-between the people and God. And at that time, only the chief priest could come into the most holy place and make sacrifices on that Day of Atonement once a year. He had to get all prepared. He had to cleanse himself from his sins. He had to do the special washing, put on the special clothes before he could even go into the presence close to the Ark of the Covenant and make that sacrifice. But Jesus was better. Jesus didn't have to do this year after year after year. He didn't have to do these frequent weekly, monthly, yearly sacrifices. He didn't have to do them at the certain festivals. His sacrifice was once for all, and not only was he the great high priest, he was the sacrifice, and he just had to do it one time. And so it's such a blessing. And this writer to the Hebrews explains that. And we're going to get into this part here where he talks about a little bit about what Jesus has done for us. And he starts just right before our verse for the day. He says, I'm going to read this and then we're going to look back and see what he may have been talking about just before this. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest, and he's talking about Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us take hold of our confession. And here's our verse. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things like we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Those three verses are so encouraging in our Christian walk. They should just be such an encouragement. We know that Jesus, God sent Jesus to this world. God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He did that because we are all sinners. Every one of us, none of us is righteous, but he loved us so that he made a way for us to be able to come back to him. We cannot be in God's presence as sinners, but Jesus paid that price for us. He was that propitiation. He was that appeasement, that sacrifice offered that paid the penalty that each of us owed for being sinners. And not only was he that propitiation, but he's that go-between. He was that high priest who makes an appeal for us to God the Father. He is all the things. He is above all. And when we see our verse for the day, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things like we are, yet without sin. Right before that, that verse says, therefore, since we have a great high priest. Well, what was he talking about? If you hop over to the end of chapter 2, well, chapter 2 talks about Jesus being the author of our salvation and what he has done for us, and about how he shared flesh and blood with us. He walked on this earth. That's what the Gospels talk about. He was fully God, yet fully man. He humbled himself to walk on this earth, becoming a man. He didn't have to. He came from glory, but he did it to be obedient to the Father and because he loved us so. Listen to this. Well, let me back up to Hebrews 3:14. It says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. I love that. He renders powerless the devil and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. And we've talked about that slavery being slaves to sin. For assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the seed of Abraham. That is us, friends. If we have believed, as we read in Galatians 3:29, where it says, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. So we believers are part of Abraham's offspring. It says, assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in all things so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And I just love that. He walked like we walked. He suffered far more than we could ever suffer because he took all the wrath of all of our sins, the sins that had been committed, the sins that would be committed. He took that on himself. And that's what that therefore is referring to. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us take hold of our confession. Let us hold on to this truth that He is God's Son. He is the great high priest. He has paid the price for us. And if we believe that, in doing that, not only do we have forgiveness of our sins and we are cleansed of our unrighteousness and justified before God the Father, but we have eternal life. I mean, it would have been enough for us to just not have that punishment, but God, being God and loving us so much, has given us so much more. He's allowed us to have eternal life with Him. We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things like we are, yet without sin. I'm so thankful for that. And that's why we can go boldly before the throne of grace to find help and mercy in our time of need. And just like we read, when we're tempted, being tempted is not a sin. It's yielding to that temptation that is a sin. And God gives us a way. He's given us Jesus. He's given us His Holy Spirit, and He helps us in those times. And so we can come to our great high priest. We can come to that mediator between us and God with anything, any difficulty at any time, and He does help. He's faithful. He's walked through this. He's walked in this flesh. And so don't think there are things that you can't come to the Father with. And also don't think that He doesn't know everything, because He does. But, oh, friends, when we come to Him and just pour out all of our difficulties, all of our struggles, all of our fears and our worries and everything, He's faithful to help. He gives His grace. He gives His mercy. He loves us so. So give Him thanks and praise for that. Be in that constant communication. His Holy Spirit will guide and convict and direct and encourage and comfort. And I am so thankful for that. Just give Him thanks and praise for what He's done today. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.